Welcome to this podcast. Finance functions are facing a number of potentially disruptive challenges. Changing business models require faster reactions to events. Technology is providing the opportunity for greater insight, but also enabling certain lower level tasks to be automated. Disruptive actions by competitors and new entrants are causing us to rethink our strategic models. Over a series of 5 articles, jointly authored by Reactive Technologies, PwC, and ACCA, we have explored these trends. In this podcast, I have the opportunity to speak to the authors of these articles and explore the themes. My name is Clive Webb, and I'm a Senior Insights Manager at ACCA. Let me introduce today's guests and the authors of these 5 articles. Firstly, we have Jens Madrian, CFO and CCO of Reactive Technologies. Hello, Jens.
Hello.
Secondly, we have Brian Furness, Global Consulting Lead at PwC in London. Hello, Brian.
Hi there.
And our third author is Jamie Lyon of ACCA. Hello, Jamie.
Hi, Clive.
So, Jens, if I may start with you. In our articles, we've talked about the importance of business strategy in setting the direction of finance. How should the CFO and their team align, ensuring that their goals, including the technology implications, are fully aligned to those of the organisation overall?
I think it's a great question. And let me maybe start here. There is only one strategy, which is the business strategy. And from that, finance need to develop 2 elements. One is, how can finance support that business strategy indirectly and directly within finance, so develop a finance strategy. A lot of finance institutions and finance departments have been dealing with, in particular, with the finance strategy in itself. So have introduced robotic artificial intelligence in their processes, speeded up through cloud-based processes, and. A lot of it drove efficiency in the underlying organizations, and I think that's right and sound. But I think where organizations overall need to step up on is the link towards the business strategy. So how can finance equally support and challenge the underlying business to meet its challenges dealing with digitalization in the wider world? Because that's just not a cost question only. It also drives the influence on the revenue line.
Brian, following on from Jens's comments, what would you recommend to a CFO asking about the steps they should take to encompass digitalization?
I think there are 4 things that I'd like to mention. Firstly, linking into Jens's point, the first is around having a vision, having a strategy for what you want your finance function to be, and what the role is of that function across the organisation, how it supports the business strategy, particularly the growth strategy, given market conditions at the moment. I would say the second is, digital is a much overused word, and I don't think there's any magic bullet. There's no one technology that you can bring into play that will transform your function and how it operates. It's more looking at a range of technologies that do different things and how perhaps you can plug them into your existing finance architecture. The third thing I would say is process. It often gets ignored. And it's probably one of the most difficult things to solve in an organization. But how do you streamline your processes and standardize your processes, either to ready them for more technology to come in and automate, or just purely to take out complexity in the organization? And linked to that, I think, as well, is data. Focus on the data and the data flows across the organization. But probably the most important thing is the 4th thing, which I would say is people. So you can bring in new technology, you can change your process, you can set out a vision for finance and its role, but at the heart of all that are the people in the finance function. So what skills do they need to possess? What behaviours are you looking for them to exhibit when they're interacting with the organisation as more widely? And how do you foster, in a team that's probably largely accountants, how do you foster an attitude of some experimentation and some interest in the data and in discovering what lies within that data.
Jamie, from the conversations with our members and others, how do you see the role of finance evolving, especially as we have not yet mastered initiatives such as business partnering?
Well, that's a great question, Clive. I don't think there's any doubt when I reflect on what Jens and Brian have just talked to. This is really a call to arms for the finance team around being at the centre of the business and helping the business create and sustain performance for what I call the longer term. And sustain's an important word there. And fundamentally, they have to do that. There's two things they need to think about. The first is that they have to pursue that ambition very rigorously. And also they need to think long term around that. And that really leads on to probably a couple of implications for how you start to think around how finance can move forward here. So first of all, you've got to think about the design of the future team and how you future-proof that. And I think we will see some changes to that as we move forward. I think secondly, and Brian alluded to this, there's a piece around culture and mindset. And that's critically important. I think once you start to blend those two things together, you're looking at something that looks quite different in terms of the skills and capabilities that's going to make business partnering truly work.
Jens, we often hear that CFOs are resistant to change, citing issues such as internal control. What do you see as the implications if they do not take up the challenge?
Yeah, first of all, I would say that internal controls reflect one of the key jobs the CFO and his department or her department need to fulfill, which is the governance function. So without a doubt, that will not change. I guess the part which we would challenge is that it is only that way of thinking which dominates the finance function. You can obviously look at risks from different perspectives, and some are reflected within internal controls, but without a doubt, digitalization as a concept itself, but then being required and demanded from your customer base, have an impact on the overall business model. And that risk is at least as important and needs reflection as well. So in this sense, I would say it is not just about maintaining your view only on governance, but broadening it also to allow you to opening up and support, not only challenge the business in order to overcome some of these so critical challenges these days.
Brian, we have talked in our articles about finance becoming more forward-thinking rather than rearward-looking. What do you see as the reality of this?
That's quite interesting, I think, because we've talked about that not just in the article, but probably for the last 10 years or so about finance being more forward-looking, being more strategic, advising the business. And I still see in many organisations finance struggles with that role. Partly, I think, in the past it struggled because of data quality and poor data across the organisation and the need to constantly source, reconcile and replay data around the organisation. Partly, I think it's also struggled a little bit with perhaps our mindset as accountants is to be more comfortable with reporting rather than to drive analysis and to challenge the business. But we have struggled with things like business partnering, which you would take as being the more forward-looking element of finance. The rearward-looking stuff is always going to be there because, as Jens said, there's the requirement to have some governance over the numbers. There's a requirement to report the numbers annually or quarterly or semi-annually. But over time, I think a lot more of that is going to be automated as we look at the systems that are in play now and we look at the automation tools that are in play. So the time you'll need to spend on that, I think, will decrease. That will free up time for people to be more forward-looking. The question for me is, do we have the right skills within the finance function to actually take that free time and turn it into something that is valuable for the business and helps you push the business forward?
Jamie, what are the implications on the skills of the finance team from this advancement in technology?
Well, I think the first thing to say, Clive, when we think about skills is that Jens and Brian are absolutely right. This is not a pure technology play. When you look at the opportunity, and it is opportunity, for the finance organisation as we move forward, you are not going to achieve the ambition that you want out of finance unless you've got access to the right capability and the right skills. So there's a real paradigm shift, I think, in terms of capability that's needed here. I probably have to pull out a few things. So I'd certainly pull out things like data and analytics. Analytics probably is one of the biggest prizes that's sitting sort of on the table in terms of the opportunity for finance going forward, and a lot of that is around democratization of data and some of the opportunities in terms of future insight that Brian talked about. So analytics skills for me is a definite. Communication and influencing, so being able to tell a story. Brian touched on the whole issue around process and process mastery. I think that's absolutely true. We're operating in a time increasingly of continual change, so change management, being prepared to adapt and having the mindset to adapt is really important. And you can't get away from the fact that as we shift towards greater adoption of new tools and technologies, some of those technology skills are going to be important too. I'd probably pull out collaboration as well. And I think if you look at the construct of the finance organization as we go forward, that piece around collaboration and how finance works with the business, I think is going to continue to tick up. And that operates across different ways, virtually, cross-functional teams and those sorts of things. That integration of finance into the business is going to be, I think, a real hallmark of, you know, the sort of the winning finance teams in the future here.
If I can turn to you, Jens, what culture do you think the CFO needs to nurture within their organisation?
Well, I think a good starting point is, first of all, to understand where you are and why you are where you are. So, and on reflection, also having discussed that with numerous of my colleagues, a lot of the culture has been formed by the ways of working, how finance functions operated, predominantly driven by a governance and control prospect. As a consequence, just to stay within the image, let's say, of football these days, you could say that finance developed more a way of commenting from the sideline than rather being on the pitch together with the team. And I think that has come as a pretty silent process, but yet, if you were to look into organizations, it comes out really clearly. It is the job and down to the leadership of the CFO to A, understand, analyze, and amend where appropriate. And the connectivity towards business strategy, I think, is the core part. Finance is not an island on its own. Also, finance salaries are being paid by customers, like everyone else's. So the integral part from finance into a wider business strategy will drive ultimately a finance culture which is way more cohesive and way more forward-looking than the ones which we have experienced in the past.
So, Brian, what do you think is the role of finance in growing and creating competitive advantage, the theme of our fifth article? How can they be successful?
I think firstly, distinguish between the role of a finance function versus finance professionals. The reason I do that is because a finance function at the moment is somewhat a random grouping of activities that sit in within the function. I think that will be hugely disrupted over time with new technologies coming in, and the amount of people that are required to do reporting, consolidation, data checking will fall away. That will, though, give opportunities for people with new roles, finance professionals being either in the business or in the finance function. They're actually looking at the future direction of the business, looking for opportunities for profitable growth, sustainable growth, and working with the business. And that's kind of why I draw the distinction between finance professionals and the finance function. I don't know that you have to sit in a building with finance written above it and a finance function. I think it's finance professionals with their training should be at the heart of many of these business decisions. And that comes from, you know, it's forecasting, it's analytics, it's driving commercial finance and driving the strategy of the business. So definitely, I think finance should be at the heart of growing any business and creating that competitive advantage. Perhaps at the moment, we don't really measure that in terms of a finance function. We tend to measure the cost of a function rather than finding a way of measuring the value it adds. And maybe we need to focus on that in the future. How can they be successful? I think opening up to new technologies and exploring how new technologies can help your business. Jamie said earlier around collaborating with others across the organisation. I mentioned talent earlier and keep refreshing the talent pool. But I think Jens said the most important thing, which is to make sure you're aware of the business strategy and you work closely with the business and you're talking the business language and you are on that pitch rather than at the sidelines. And you're supporting the business in its future direction.
Jamie, in the light of what we have heard, is it a case of disrupt or die for the CFO and the finance team?
Well, disrupt or die is quite a big statement. I think it's certainly a case of either adapt or prepare to lose relevance. And again, coming back to the analogy from Jens, you've got to get yourself on the pitch rather than be on the sideline, definitely. And you have to be. You have to be involved. I think for finance, we've got to see this as an opportunity first and foremost. It isn't just a technology play, as we know. It is about thinking strategically about how finance aligns with the business. It is around being prepared to change and having the right mindset. And how often do we talk about this and hear about this? But of course, it always comes back to having the right people. And the right skills that are going to operate successfully in that environment. And that leads me on to a final point, which is you don't achieve all of that overnight, and you don't achieve all of that unless you've got a pretty strategic long-term view to how you develop your people and how you think strategically about the skills that are going to be needed in the future finance team. You don't magic it up overnight. It takes time to build that capability, and it takes time to change the culture. But if CFOs and finance leaders are prepared to invest that time, then the rewards are certainly there to be taken.
Could you give me one piece of advice to the CFO looking to the future?
So I think in terms of one piece of advice for the future, it would be to truly recognise that technology is not going to be the panacea to all of finance's problems for the future. And if you really want to take the opportunity, and there is real opportunity from digital, then fundamentally you've got to invest in your people, and you've got to think very long term about the capabilities that those people have and have a plan for that.
From me, I would say that first, you need to frame what the future is. So Jamie says very long term. I'm not so sure we can all look too long term, given the amount of disruption in the markets at the moment and the advancing pace, the pace of change of technology. I think set yourself probably a vision of the 3 to 5 years and work towards that. And don't get stuck in the here and now in terms of dealing with today's issues, if you can possibly help that. But that's quite difficult. But in order to get people moving in the direction you want, you've got to show them the vision of where you want to get to and what you see as the role of the function. So I would, in the 3 to 5 year horizon, I would say absolutely set that vision.
So from my perspective, I think a clear statement and understanding around that technology isn't something for the next few years, but is effectively a game changer in the here and now, would be a good starting point. It is also not a tool to only drive efficiencies within the finance function. I think the much bigger price ticket is to see it as an enabler for the wider business to meet the challenges and the opportunities which come with digitalization. That to realize and grasp together with the CEO and articulate in a way that you have a cohesive and linked finance vision and strategy together with the business strategy is absolutely key. The last point on this, though, shall not be, and here is the plan the CFO needs to lead that plan. And that leadership is probably the core driver of turning a good idea into some successful execution, which will be rewarded over time.
I think one other thing, though, that I wonder about is we often start from a position of what can we do to change what we have today? I think there needs to be a little bit more free thinking, and this is why I mentioned the vision of the future of 3 or 5 years. If you set that out, then you can ask yourself the questions of, well, why can't we do something? Why isn't it possible? And I think that is a much more positive way of looking at things rather than, well, what can we do today? Which tends to involve you in tweaking the model and making fine-tuning and changes that have impact, but maybe not as much impact as if you sort of reimagine the problem.
Yeah, I think that's right, Brian. And I think sort of when I talked about longer term, I was thinking around a similar time horizon, really. We all know very long term is not necessarily that realistic in the environment now. But what you unquestionably have to do is think a little bit longer term than, to be honest, most organisations perhaps are at the moment, and most finance organisations are, in terms of the people, because as I said before, I don't think this stuff doesn't just happen overnight. It has to be considered, has to be aligned to the business, it has to be with sufficient foresight around what that future space might look like.
I can just see my team sitting in front of me and saying, yeah, that's all right, guys, but I just don't have time. I'm just getting bombarded left, right, and center with the day-to-days, which you, dear CFO, clearly don't need to master. So, and that's not taking the mickey out of this comment. That's actually absolutely one of the core dilemmas in practical life, to kind of allow your finance teams to use a proportion of their time to explore exactly the routes Brian and Jamie articulated. But that doesn't come from nothing. And here, the CFO needs to play an important part. Usually, particular senior execs are reasonably good in adding things to the task list. The much harder part is what can let go. And letting go means you ultimately expose yourself and the organization. But that is part of that leadership as well. It's not just the easy call to say, let's just do more of, but as a consequence, be respectful to the resources and the, you know, amount of workload the teams already have, to say, okay, and with these things, we'll stop.
And yet, what's interesting, Jens, is that we also have suggested before that sometimes finance undertakes a lot of activities where the value to the business is questionable. So by letting go of some things, it may not necessarily put the organization at risk. I think the most important thing is to, and this again for me comes back to culture, is to ask the question in the first place, well, is everything that we're doing relevant and adding value to the business? And if it's not, are there things that we can stop doing that perhaps starts to give us some space to think about what we should be doing better and what we can do.
Or you look at things that you can do in a different way, either with technology or different ways of working. But I think, to me, the crux of it all is that if you want to get to this new vision, you undoubtedly need to invest, and you might need to invest some cash, or you might need to invest some people's time. And I think you need to create the capacity to do either of those, because otherwise, Jens, as you say, without that desire and commitment to invest led by the CFO, it's very difficult for the majority of people in finance to move forward, I think, because they're so busy on what they're doing in the here and now.
And that's the lesson which isn't easy for a finance leader and the CFO. themselves as well, because what they do is they open up a personal exposure to themselves. So there are obviously a few things which we won't cover anymore. Hence, if a problem occurs, it may fall back to me, whereas the benefit of supporting a business is an indirect task which may not also be related back to you. You may see this slightly opportunistic, but that's a reality I've seen ever so much. And that to realize for CFOs and overcome in the best spirit of the maximum prize to win is the success for the overall organization. That's the core element, and it requires that degree of leadership to align themselves as well as their finance teams. I think if you appreciate that, you'll be fine.
Thank you, gentlemen, for giving us your thoughts today. If you'd like to read the articles that form the basis of this podcast, you can find these either on the ACCA Global website under the technology area of Professional Insights, or alternatively, on the finance consulting pages of the PwC UK website. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.